Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 132 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We'll begin with entertainment and discuss some firing taking place over at Disney, the Black Panther spinoff series, and some video game news. And then we'll move into tech and talk about some lost Bitcoin, Jeff Bezos stepping down, and the many companies of Elon. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we are now picking up here in the end of, Super Bowl's over. You're in some kind of crazy polar vortex up there in Chicago and can't step outside. And at least we've got a few things to look forward to.
I'm not looking forward to going and shoveling again for the 15th time, I'll tell you that.
We're at about like a foot and a half now.
Yeah, we're like a foot and a half, but it's not even the snow that bothers you, because once you get it out of the way and off the roads, it's fine. It's, bro, it's one. It's fucking, it is a degree right now. You know, and honestly, even with it being that cold, if you walk outside and the wind's not blowing, it's really not that bad. Like, okay, you bundle up. But the minute a wind gust hits you, that shit hits your soul, man.
Yep, I don't miss it. And I still don't know why people still live there. But
money, 100%, 100% money. Like I have financial investments in this area of the country. That is it.
All right. Well, yeah, let's talk about happier news and stay indoors, talking about a little bit of entertainment. WandaVision still is spectacularly moving along. I think the show is even more intriguing as it continues. And without giving spoilers ourselves, one of the first stories we have is an article about somebody getting fired for giving spoilers about the show, and that is one of the voice actors or individuals who dub it for Spanish. He just had to make it Twitter official that he was hired on to revoice one of the characters, a character that was the big reveal of this last episode. And he tweeted that he was recast to do the Spanish dub of the big reveal character ahead of the episode coming out. And then he also tweeted that he would be continuing to dub this voice as this character returns within the MCU. And
like, how dumb are you?
He didn't dub this voice. So they quickly replaced him and had somebody else do it on this episode.
Like, they will throw in Cheadle for you. Like, they don't care. They'll just throw in Cheadle. They'll make Cheadle learn Spanish, and they'll let Cheadle do your voice. like they don't give a shit. Ask Terrence Howard how that worked out for him. You are the Mexican voiceover character. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely wild that I don't know how this person thinks that that they are going to get away with this. I guess, yeah, be happy for yourself, but just wait till the episode comes out.
And you know he's probably mad that they did it and like takes no responsibility for it whatsoever. Like, what are you even talking about? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Like, no, it actually was a really big deal. Like, it'd be like the dude who made the baby Yoda robot being like, can't wait to feature my baby Yoda robot on the next season, you know, on this season of Mandalorian. Like, the fuck, robot dude, shut up.
Yeah, no, it's a big spoiler. Again, we won't tell you who emerges, but it is, man, it's interesting.
It is interesting
to see where they're going.
Yeah, like it was one of those, like, you went, ooh, what are we doing here now?
Yeah, so definitely, again, we said it last week that, you know, WandaVision is picking up as one of these shows that you have to watch it as close to it airing as possible, because by 12:50, in the morning on Friday morning or Thursday night, whatever you want to call it, somebody's already tweeting about it.
Oh, you getting a meme today?
Facebook,
that's for sure.
Everything.
It's like, fucking. It's fucking Monday. It's been 3 days. You getting a meme about it today? Like, go watch that shit. Like,
yeah,
keep up.
Yeah, there's no way you are making it through a week or making it for the end of the series and then binge watching it later. So
nope.
Get caught up. All right, and then I guess we can just move on to more Disney Plus news. We find out last week that it's official that they're going to move forward with a Wakanda Forever Black Panther spinoff series on Disney Plus. Looking at 2022, so a fairly quick turnaround on this, as you know, Black Panther 2 is coming out also, I think 2022. So interesting to see where they're going to go. Is this going to follow like you know, M'Baku, like his character? Is it going to be new characters? What's it really going to be centered around? But in the end, Wakanda series coming to Disney Plus, and I'm sure everybody's excited for it.
I want the 80s theme song for Wakanda Forever. I want the you know, step by step kind of the you know, the Urkel theme song. Like, give me some 90s cheesy theme song. That was the best part, I think, of WandaVision this week, was that 80s
for sure.
What was that show where the mom
family
had
ties.
No, not well, okay. It was
a kinda, Family Ties opening.
It reminded me more of the Step by Step, was it, when the dad had kids and the mom had kids and they married each other and like they had the blended family. Was that Step by Step? That's what it reminded me of. Was a Step by Step. But no, Family Ties was
that's
right
next
there.
Episode. That's 90s.
Yeah.
Next episode's gotta be Step by Step or Full House or something. But no, this one was this, like, with the whole painting and everything else, it was just straight Family Ties opening. But no, it was, yeah, that was definitely the best part of this.
Yeah, if Kendrick Lamar doesn't do a Wakanda Forever theme song, I'm kind of disappointed. You know, it should be good though. Like, if the series so far, you know, if with the you know, what we'll talk about next, the Falcon and Winter Soldier trailer that just dropped, the high quality of WandaVision, if they keep this up, man, it's going to be some really high quality entertainment. It's starting to make me think, excuse me, it's starting to make me think of what the networks have in it, like what kind of input they have when they let the shows go on an ABC or an NBC. Cause I liked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It wasn't up to the quality of what Disney Plus is putting out, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked it. Inhumans was a pile of trash, like just straight dumpster fire. So it makes me think, like, is it the networks that ruin these shows, or was it just bad choices that, you know, along the way, you know, with these streaming services now putting out their own content? I don't know if you know,
I think money ruins it. I think the network money just wasn't there to put into these shows. They were capped by a certain amount of, you know, advertiser money that was going to come in, and that's really where the money ends on those shows. And here we see, you know, Black Panther 2 is now the 12th Marvel show being announced for Disney Plus, and like, they can dump money into it. Because when it comes to investor money, when it comes to shareholder money, when it comes to their stock price, just number of subscribers is everything. So I think they can dump way more money into these series, keep them at like near movie quality levels, just to constantly have a flow of, yeah, I think by the time we get to like this Black Panther and we've got 12 Marvel series, there will never be a time when there's not a Marvel series. So how do you ever end your Disney Plus subscription?
Yeah.
Right? Every week is like this.
I had mentioned before the show, I saw the budgets for Winter Soldier and WandaVision. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but like, WandaVision had like a minor movie budget. You know what I mean? Like, it was in the hundreds of something millions of dollars for the WandaVision. What surprised me was Falcon and Winter Soldier was about half of what WandaVision was. But I assume it's because it's cheaper to actually blow shit up than pay 15 eggheads to make something look like it blew up. I'm assuming it's because Falcon and Winter Soldier is almost all live action, and WandaVision is more CGI, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, unique sets. Every single episode, they've got a brand new set piece. Like, everything is pretty unique about the show. And they probably went harder on this one to set the stage. As you know, this one was supposed to come out a while ago as a part of like Disney Plus's first year, ended up, you know, not making that timeline, but
well,
still.
And they've always said that this ties right into the Doctor Strange movie, so maybe they throw a little bit more money at it, knowing that they're setting up their next major, you know, theatrically release. So, hey, let's throw an extra $30 million at the TV show so we don't have to throw it at this movie, or we can focus some, you know what I mean? Like, it, I think a lot of the times they're going to spend a little bit more money on these shows because the movies will benefit in the long run from it. And that's where they'll make a nice chunk of change back.
Yeah. I don't know. Either way, it's definitely set a bar pretty high for all these Marvel shows coming out. You know, we're a little more than a month out from the Falcon and Winter Soldier coming out next month. And, you know, the new trailer just came out during the Super Bowl. And it looks good. It looks entertaining. It's about what I thought it would be. You know, the relationship between Bucky, Falcon, or it's, you know, they're funny, they're comedic. It looks like in this trailer they're in like marriage counseling or couples counseling throughout the episode.
It's a buddy cop comedy. Yeah, it's buddy cop comedy meets Winter Soldier, the movie, and bundle it all up, package it, ship it out. I'm here for it. I'm about that life.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. And yeah, and then we'll move on from there. You know, I think still this year is Ms. Marvel still this year, and She-Hulk. I think those are the two. I think Moon Knight's this year.
I posted in the cantina the actual dates that they just announced. We're too lazy to pull that up right now, though.
Yeah. go check out the Nerd Cantina. But either way, all of it's looking great. Slate's looking great. That's I'm here for not regretting my 3-year Disney Plus subscription that I did.
Not at all. For the price we got
back when this first started. Yeah.
You know, if Ken bought that 3-year, it was worth every dollar, every penny, every Dogecoin worth of purchase.
All right, and then let's talk about a little bit of video game news. Big news in the sense that, hey, Sony is now bringing one of the PlayStation exclusive games over to Xbox, and that's going to be the MLB The Show. You know, if you play baseball games and you've been a fan of MLB The Show, which is, you know, I always considered kind of by a lot of people the baseball game to play, it'll be now available starting this year on the 2021 release on Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 and 5.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get it. Like, everybody on PlayStation loved that game. It's the Madden of baseball, and I've never been able to play it, even though I have a PS5 now and I could get it for PlayStation. Yeah, no, fuck that. I'm playing it on Xbox. I don't give a shit. I'm hoping this is a trend. You know what I mean? To where PlayStation has the exclusive rights and they just, instead of using it as a purchasing tool for a PlayStation, they use it as a way to just license it to Xbox to get their own, you know, a chunk of money out of Xbox. You know, like I hope we do this more often. I don't care if PlayStation players can play Halo. I really don't. I want somebody that is one console to per home. You know, like some people, that's all they can afford. They got to make a choice, and it's a tough choice. I feel you on that. So if they've always been PlayStation, their team PlayStation, but they would love to, you know, but I do wish I could play the Halo. I do see that Xbox has some good games. Like I hope we get to a point where, you know, these companies could just work it out, throw a chunk of money at it, and let everybody play the games that they love.
Yeah, it's not going to work like that, I don't think. But it'd be nice. This one's interesting in the sense that they're gonna. It is a cross platform game, so you can play it with and against people either for either platform. It's also cross progress. It said so you can have the game on a PlayStation 5, play it, and then pick up where you left off on Xbox if you had the game on Xbox somewhere else. I don't know. You know, maybe that's for those children of divorce that they got a PlayStation with mom and an Xbox with dad.
Yep. Whatever. Bro, that was our life. You know, no, like,
for sure.
That was our life. Mom got the first Nintendo. Dad got the OG Sega. Mom got a Genesis. Yeah. Dad got the Super Nintendo. Like, that, in all honesty.
Yeah, we knew that.
That's the butter knife on divorce. That smooths it all out right there for you. You know, like, yes, my parents hate each other and talk to me like shit, but
I get
every system in two Christmases. So. We are scarred children. So what?
Yeah, we're broken. but we had the consoles. So in the end, it's kind of cool. But even the article from Gamerant talks about the fact that this deal coming together came together because of very specific licensing agreements tied to the MLB. They said, do not expect this to be a trend going into PlayStation, like what you were just hoping for. Gamerant said that there is no reason to believe that PlayStation branded games are going to get brought over to Xbox. They have no plan to do so, but it was something about this, the specific licensing for MLB The Show that caused this to happen.
Well, I'm sure baseball is like, well, fuck it. You can't use our players if you're just going to – we don't want only half the country to be able to play a good baseball game because, let's be honest, RBI baseball is shit. I played it. I bought it. I've had it. It's shit. So, like, yeah. If, you know, and Major League Baseball, they want to up their licensing fees and they want more people to have access to it. I just hope this kind of, like, spearheads something because if it makes them money – but you know, money's the bottom line in every scenario, you know. So if it's profitable for these companies to license it to each other, then it'll work out. If not, then you know, if PlayStation's willing to turn away hundreds of millions of dollars just to be a dick to Xbox fans, like that's pretty savage.
And I would respect it. And then we move on to, you know, a failed video game experience. Google Stadia is saying yeah, they are no longer making video games. Last about 18 months, and Google realized, oh, we're not good at this. We should probably just stop. So I guess it makes sense. Don't spend money in a failed experiment any longer than you need to. I don't see them offering refunds to you. Yeah. I got my refund in week one when I sent that thing back.
I cut my losses 2 months in. Yeah. Yeah. So they're just going to stop making exclusive games for Stadia. They're still going to put up the Assassin's Creeds, the general games. They're closing all their own game developers, which not surprising. And they didn't have much to begin with. My thing is, I'm in a few gaming forums, you know, especially one with a bunch of dads. I like to feel the pain of our fellow old game heads that don't get to play as much anymore. And anybody that mentions like the Stadia actually has good things to say about it. And I'm just standing here looking at my dusty ass controller, like, what the fuck are you people playing on? Like, what the, like, where is the bar set in your life, pal? Because mine was shit. You know, and they've said over the months that it's gotten better and this and that. I just think it's possibly because people like me threw their Stadia controllers in the garbage, so we're just not taking up the bandwidth anymore. So now your game runs better because I'm not trying to play a game on it anymore. If this goes under, though, this is the thing about cloud gaming I hate. You know, if Stadia, the fact that they're closing developers down is a bad sign that they might not even run this anymore. And the minute they shut their servers down, what happens to every $60 game you bought for Stadia? You know what I mean? Like what happens to that? You don't have shit, you know? So like in the Xbox and PlayStation scenario, or even like Nintendo's and Genesis's, like if you have a console and you have the cartridge, you play that shit for life. Maybe not any of the online capabilities, you know, like they're shutting down Halo 2 servers and shit like that from 15 years ago. But like the actual campaigns and stuff like that, you have that game for life. With cloud gaming like Stadia, and I just saw people posting their Luna controllers online. So Amazon's cloud gaming system is up and running. What happens if these are failed experiments and they shut it down? You just... all the hundreds of dollars you spent on games, they just burn that. Bye. See ya. Sorry about it. Thanks for your fucking cash.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the challenges. I think that's why, in my opinion, like the cloud gaming goes more of like the Game Pass route, and it should be a subscription base. That's what Luna is. And I think that that's probably the better model for cloud gaming because you really don't have any digital ownership. So why pay full price for games that are just tethered to this online internet-based system? But like Luna, I signed up for Luna. I tinkered around with it for like a month on a free trial, or it was like $3. And I just wanted to see what it was. I didn't buy the controller. The controller is like $60, but I didn't buy the controller. You could just use an Xbox One controller. So I just Bluetoothed my Xbox One controller to my computer, and then I Bluetoothed my Xbox One controller to my Amazon Fire Stick on the TV. worked just fine. I could just play with something I already had, a controller I already had. Cost me $3.
How was the lag in video quality?
It was okay. It was fine. Like, I didn't play any like online competitive games. I just didn't try those out.
That's the test for me is when I ran Destiny, Destiny was shit. And it's like, how am I supposed to play this, man?
And I still think that that's probably going to be an issue. But like for me, if I'm going to go travel somewhere or whatever else, I might just bring an Xbox controller and just turn on a subscription for a month and pick up a bunch of games that I haven't played, try them out.
You can do the same thing with Game Pass. Like, so if you have an Xbox, like, what's the difference?
But then I got to bring my Xbox.
No, you got to bring your Xbox controller. You play the shit right on your PC.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it comes down to
preference at that point.
Preference, and you got to tell me, can I play these games without downloading them? Or am I down, right? Like Luna, I don't need to download anything.
That just might be the difference. I would have to look into that.
I just go to the Luna app on my computer and I just play it. It took almost no time to get the games loaded and then start playing.
Yeah. Well, I would assume you don't have to download it because you could play the Game Pass games on your phone too. And you're not downloading no 50 gig game on your phone.
We should look into it. But either way, I think that's the future of cloud gaming. Stadia's obviously didn't work very well. And then the fact that the costs and the purchasing of these games, and then even after you purchase the games, you still needed to pay a subscription to keep your access to everything. It was just kind of, it's a bad system. So they're out of the game.
Stadia had high hopes. And they womp womp, fell flat.
Yeah.
Sorry about it. Do better. You know, I don't, you know, like Google takes an L. Ooh. Like, they buy up everything in life. They own everything. Like, they took one L. Stay out of video games, guys. Like,
Amazon's going to try to get in this route. We're going to talk here in a minute about Jeff Bezos stepping down. So we can just talk about now, just because it kind of relates to this, because the new CEO for Amazon has outright said that developing video games will be one of the futures of Amazon. Like, he is committed to the fact that Amazon will be a video game developer.
Because the man with all the monies realizes how much monies there are in video games. You know, gaming is a multi-billion dollar industry. Take all the money generated from movies, television, music, books, and combine it, and it still doesn't match the money made by video games. That to me is a staggering number.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, you know, Jeff Bezos' replacement there at Amazon recognizes that. And he was the head of AWS. So he was the head of Amazon Web Services. And, you know, he's very tech-centered on the side of Amazon. And he wants to move headstrong into creating a developing arm for Amazon. So definitely, you know, Luna and then Amazon branded specific games is a part of that future. So there's more
I love the memes that, you know, Jeff Bezos stepping down as Amazon CEO to focus his attention on defeating Superman. I love that headline.
Yeah. I do wonder, I think I'm expecting him to go like try to be full Elon now. Like stepping down from Amazon so he could just focus on like Blue Origin, and he's going to just become like Spaceman.
Yeah, he's going to start tweeting about meme coins and he is definitely jealous of the popularity of Elon. He's the asshole kid bully in the corner that doesn't understand why nobody likes him. You know, meanwhile Elon is kind of just like him but is popular because he, you know, brings cupcakes to class and shares his sticks of gum with everybody.
Well, it's true. Like Jeff Bezos, you got to think, like, if you're that guy, you got to think, you know, I'm the dude who is bringing you anything you want in the world in 2 days. And you all hate me. Elon's the guy that 1% of you can buy his fucking cars and everybody loves you. I'd be a little pissed off too, I think.
Don't be such a dick, bro. Like, that's all you gotta do is just don't be such a dick. Take a little bit of that money, give everyone at Amazon a dollar raise. Like, and that's the thing is, like, I think Jeff Bezos has done so many dastardly kind of like moves that he's gonna really have to work at becoming like the cool guy. You know, dick pic didn't work, Bezos. Like, keep on moving. keep on moving. He's gonna have to do something like something really crazy, you know, pull a kid out of a well, maybe even like, I don't know.
Well, I think we'll see it sooner than later. I think he's going to take all this now spare time of his. And, I do think this Blue Origin, you know, his space program is going to be a significant focus of what he's going to do now. And then I'm sure he's just going to start slinging philanthropy money out there somewhere or doing something. He's got to keep up with his ex-wife who spent like $6 billion in charities last year.
Yeah. She's going to really make him look bad. Like he's got enough money. Like the government sucked balls on stimulus checks throughout this pandemic. Give me a Bezos check. Give everybody a $250 Amazon gift card. Like, yeah. Just send them out in the mail, Bezos. Come on. You got the power. You got the money. Don't buy your seventh yacht. Don't buy your 15th $30 million home in California. Like, you want us to like you. Give me free shipping without Prime. and send me a gift card. I won't shit on you as much, maybe.
All right, and then I guess, you know, we could talk about more tech stuff. This story is,
love it.
You love the Facebook ban?
Oh, I thought we were going. I thought we were going, oh, okay, to Bitcoin. That's the next. Right, no, see, you're jumping around the outline. You're fucking me all up. Right.
No, I thought you were talking about you're loving about a coup in Burma. I was like,
no,
Jesus.
No.
Savage. No. All right. No, well, yeah, we'll get there. So, we could talk about this Bitcoin story, which, yes, I do love. A German, essentially, criminal. He was put in jail for 2 years for a mining scheme. Essentially, he put malware on a bunch of people's computers in order to harvest their computing power in order to mine Bitcoin. Apparently he amassed a decent amount of Bitcoin in doing this scheme as he's got about $60 million worth of Bitcoin, in his like personal holdings. This dude was arrested for the malware, for the cyber crimes, put in jail for 2 years. The German, prosecutors have confiscated the Bitcoin locker. One problem, German government can't access it because dude won't tell them the password.
I
find this absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, one, if you were in Germany and your computer was overclocking and running like shit, you might have been mining Bitcoin. you might have been mining Bitcoin and not known it, which is, to me, is pretty crazy that that's even possible. Two, you know, the government seizes cash from people all the time. If you don't know what a civil forfeiture is, Google that shit, okay?
Yeah.
Because that is the most savage thing the government can do to just any random citizen anywhere ever, okay? There are all kinds of stories of, you know, a dad giving his son $8,000 cash to drive to another state and buy a car, and the cops pull him over, find $8,000 cash, say, nope, you were going to buy drugs, take that $8,000, and it's just
and
gone.
Then they have a Christmas party.
It's just gone, yeah, and they use it to fund their Christmas party, and you never get it back, just based on the fact that they don't believe you that you're going to buy a car. No, you were going to buy drugs. We're taking your shit. You know, so yes, should the major drug cartels that we seize their money be used for, you know, bettering our society? Sure, whatever. I don't care. But that's not everything that happens when the government seizes cash. So
yeah, but you might need to convict somebody of something before you keep that money and spend that money.
Exactly. You know, I just love that the police thought they got a big payday, and now they're just kind of, he's like, nope, sorry about it. Like, I love that you can lock your money up like this. Like, I truly believe that, like, this is, it gives more power to everybody, you know? So this is how a criminal is benefiting from it. But, you know, you yourself, you know, trust me, when the, divorce hammer comes down, you might really be glad you put that password on your Bitcoin.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos is wondering.
Paul McCartney's crying right now also.
Well, yeah, this is a, you know, a better version of that story we talked about a couple weeks ago about the guy who, you know, was gifted like 7,000 coins years ago, just wrote the password on a post-it note and then lost it over the years. And now that is worth a staggering hundreds sum and he can't millions. Get access yeah, to it.
That's ridiculous.
So I'll call it a better version because it's intentional of just concealing the password. Yeah, he's a criminal. I got that. But still, at least this just shows, government can't get, nobody can get that money from you unless you want them to.
And that's the part that I like, is that people have control over their shit no matter who's trying to go after it. It's a privacy issue to me. I err on the side of privacy every time.
Yeah, well, he got it. He got it that time. All right, now let's go to the other story that none of us think is awesome. This is in the tech world. We talk about tech, censorship, tech issue. You know, these social media issues. Here's one where government sponsored. We've got the coup, military coup taking place in Burma.
Which, if you don't know, is really fucked up, man. Like, if you don't know what's going on in Burma that it applies to this story, do some research on that, because this is a pretty big issue. And especially after the way our election just went, look at how it could go.
I mean, it is kind of crazy. Like, this whole Myanmar thing with this concept of like, oh, they had an election. They elected somebody. One group says that the election was fraudulent, full of fake votes. It sounds kind of familiar, it sounds kind of familiar.
I think we've been here before.
The difference is the military party over there in Myanmar that is claiming that the votes were fraudulent and that the election wasn't fair and it was rigged happens to be the party of the military. So they were able to mobilize the military and take control of the country in the interim while they wait to do another election next year, right? So this is a complete military coup, military takeover. Like, it's beyond a coup. Like, this is like just straight treason at this point in time.
And this is the main plot of so many movies. so many movies that you can reference.
Yeah, and what brings us into the tech world about it now is that military has taken over the government. This military-backed government now has, there's uprisings all throughout the country of the people who rightly elected the military branch or the military party out of office. And you've got lots of protests, lots of people organizing. And in Myanmar and throughout Burma, like, Facebook is how people communicate. Like, the social networks there is how people talk to each other. So, like, far more than any other mode. So, of course, the military steps in and has forced all internet service providers to block Facebook so people cannot organize, people cannot talk to each other in any kind of efficient way to put together these protests, to put together any kind of demonstrations. And they've effectively shut down the country's ability to organize.
And this again just highlights the importance of being able to have open lines and free lines of communication without the platform or the government being able to restrict any of these social media outlets are tools of communication. Now, we went from smoke signals and carrier pigeons and USPS, and we've evolved into this new digital age of communication, and we need to protect that for everybody, for the benefit of society as a whole. Do we need to regulate it? Do we need to watch it? Yeah, sure. You can make those arguments. It is a little bit of the Wild West out here in digital social media land right now. But this is highlighting a government restriction of Facebook and how that hurts us. I mean, we see it in China. We see it in countries like Saudi Arabia, Iran, anywhere where there's heavy military or dictatorship. They really choke the lines of communication, and this is why. It is to protect their own interests and protect their way of life. It's really, things are really bad over there. I feel bad for the people of Burma.
Yeah, this is why we talk very much about open internet and open social media. All that stuff is just important to us. Like, I get it. People can do bad things on the internet. It doesn't mean I want Section 230 repealed so we can read everybody's messages. And the government can choose how they're going to enforce certain policies and force companies to monitor speech. And it just goes down a slippery slope that today, most of what I do, probably all of what I do, is perfectly in line with our government regulation and system. That might not be true by the time I die. Like, that might not be true 40 years from now. Who knows what's taking place? And I'd like to see these become enduring rights as far as open internet. I would not want to see our country become a Burma or Myanmar as weaponizing social media in order to kill speech and kill the ability to organize, the ability to put together any type of protest. It's important.
Yeah, and I stand firm. I don't care what number of criminals or crime that you think that you'll be able to prevent by limiting my privacy or limiting my speech. I don't give a fuck. Like, I will always stand on the side of I would rather let five criminals go than give up the rights of 500 regular citizens. Like, you're not going to catch everybody. It's an imperfect world. It's an imperfect system. Bad people are bad people. I understand that. We're never going to get to a zero percentage. I'm not willing to give up anything that I cherish to catch any of these people. Like, sorry about it.
Yep. So, all right, let's go into happier news. And that is monkeys playing video games. I guess the next story.
Boom. So
we've talked a bunch about Neuralink over the 130 other episodes we've done here. And Elon did a big talk on, what's that, the new platform?
I know it's
Clubhouse, right?
Yeah, Clubhouse, I think.
Yeah, so he did a Clubhouse chat and talked about everything. He didn't only talk about Dogecoin. if you were wondering, like, he talked about other things than Bitcoin and Dogecoin. One of it was he talked about where Neuralink is now, that they've got Neuralink wired into monkey brains, and they're able to do it wirelessly now, and they've got monkeys being able to play video games, control video games with their mind. He's talking about, like, he's really excited about the opportunity to watch two monkeys play against each other in, like, Pong. Like, that's what he's moving towards right now, is getting monkeys to play video games with each other. But
put the odds on FanDuel. I'll bet on it. Put the odds on FanDuel. I'll take bets. I swear to God, I will. This is the future. This is the future.
The future of gambling.
Yeah. Mind-controlled monkeys playing video games. Oh,
whatever.
God.
Yeah.
It'd be
people
great.
Gamble on abusing horses.
I just, like, in my head, just picture, like, Tom Cruise walking into a dirty basement with, like, the ring of, like, people in sweaty dago tees with cigarettes hanging out their lips while two monkeys are in a pit with fucking a screen in front of them, like the old cockfights in the movies.
I'll be impressed when they're playing, like, Mortal Kombat. Like, let's get this let's scale this up fast beyond Pong. But no, he just made mention, no real information or demonstration given, but he has said that, like, no, currently there is Neuralink in monkey brains, and they have been able to control video game interfaces using it. So
how mad are you if a monkey beats you in, a neurologically implanted monkey beats you in Pong? Like, how mad are you? Like, just because his reactions are so much faster than, that split second that it takes for your brain to tell your thumb to move that joystick up to block that ball. Like, what if that's the only advantage the monkey needed, and you just got this monkey raping faces against human players?
All I know is day one, that monkey's making more money than us on Twitch.
Oh, for sure. Like,
day one.
Subscribe. For sure. All day. Subscribe.
So.
Put a shirt on, monkey. We got terms of service. Put a shirt on. Oh, God. I'm here for it. Put him on Twitch, Elon. Like, how are we not tweeting at this? Everybody in the cantina, at Elon Musk, put that monkey Twitch. On Twitch. Hashtag Twitch monkey.
All right. Well, We'll have to tweet that out when this episode comes out on Wednesday.
Sure.
At a minimum, we've got to do it. All right. Oh, shit. All right, moving on. Let's go with some more Elon news. We've got, man, another Starship in a ball of fire this week.
I know.
Yeah, we delayed that launch, kept running into issues with FAA, couldn't get clearance to launch. Ends up launching, midweek last week. And the first one that came into a ball of fire, like, it looked like everything went according to plan, and it just landed a little hard. This one didn't even come close on the landing.
Like, missed by that much.
And looking into it, so it uses two of those Falcon engines to bring itself upright and then to descent down. And one of the two engines didn't light. So it started to swing. It didn't get fully vertical, never slowed itself down even close to as much as it was supposed to, because only one engine fired, and it crashed epically. That's going to cause a delay. Like, Starship 10, SN10 is already, it's like already on the launch platform. Like, they've got it down to a pretty efficient manner and be able to building these Starships. Prototypes. So the next one's ready to launch, but the FAA has said that they're going to be, like, personally involved in the investigation on the crash.
Because that'll make it so much better. Let the American government get their hands on it, because that fixes everything.
Even though SN10's pretty much ready to launch next week, I think we're going to probably have a pretty good delay because of the FAA is not going to allow them to launch until they figure out what happened. Part of, like, you know, a bunch of people talking about why this crashed and stuff like that. And the explanation was that, you know, only two engines fired, but there's three Raptor engines on this. And somebody on, like, some space-focused Twitter channel tweeted at Elon and said, well, why don't you guys just fire up all three engines? And then after, you know, your sensors determine which three engines are firing effectively, just kill off one. And then that way you have a backup. And Elon's response was just, because we're dumb. Like, and that's what he tweeted back.
Because we're dumb. Hired. You are hired, and, sir.
You know, he has immediately said that that's exactly what they are now building into it, is that all three engines will fire up. That would be too much to have a slow descent, to have a controlled descent. But he has said that they are absolutely adopting that now. Going to fire all three engines. And then it'll quickly assess which three engines of the three are running optimal, and it'll kill off one.
It's easy to look up, but I'm really right now hoping that dude that tweeted that is just some, like, space enthusiast plumber. You know, just some regular dude. Just some regular dude that works at Costco, that just really loves space and follows Elon, who's just like, hey, why don't you do this? And, like, and then all these fucking rocket scientists, literal rocket scientists, are just like, well, shit, Bob the fucking plumber figured it out. Like, I would love that. I would love every minute of it.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see if SN10 goes up and they actually do that. I'm going to probably, as I watch all of these, either in real time or I watch the full YouTube video of the 15-minute flight or whatever, I'll watch the next one to see on the flip up if all three fire initially and then it kills one. And I bet that we're going to see it on this very next iteration. So it's cool. It's why they're doing these things. He didn't take this one as lightly as the last one. Like, last one, he was celebrating success, even though it blew up.
Yeah.
This one, no. Like, he
yeah, we didn't raise the bar at all.
This one happened.
But even when he gets upset, like when the glass broke on the Tesla truck, like, he still takes it in stride pretty well. Like, he's definitely a meditator.
Yeah. Or a robot. Like, one of the two there.
Speaking of that Tesla truck, I just did a job for a good buddy, and he put the $100 deposit down on the Tesla truck. He's getting all the info. He's like, I will have my truck in a few months. He's like, so on the show, I will do a Tesla truck review because the day it pulls in his driveway, I'm going to his house. Like, I'm working on his house right now. I told him, I was like, the day you get that truck, you're going to have to take me for a ride because I'm going to do a review on the Tesla truck for the Nerd Cantina. He's like, done, bro. Done. I was like, fuck yeah.
You're gonna have to record that.
No, I might live stream it. I might live stream the whole thing.
All right, and then we got a little more SpaceX news with, you know, just more SpaceX working with the government, working with NASA. They've got a $99 million mission contract to fly in 2024. It's essentially a unique satellite system that's going to use infrared and all kinds of other techniques to completely map the entire, what it's saying is the creation of the universe is what it's looking to do. And this is, again, another NASA program that SpaceX has won, and they'll launch it up in 2024. It's called SphereX, is this program specifically, and it's a space telescope. It's going to launch and, I think, stay in orbit for about 2 years, and it has a bunch of different sensors on there to explore 300 different galaxies. It's going to gather a bunch of different data, and its whole goal is to try to better understand the creation of the universe. So, whatever. It's cool. It's cool. I like this idea from NASA. It seems like a pretty low budget to determine the creation of the universe. Less than 100 million? I don't know. Like, I feel like you could probably
In NASA dollars, yeah, it's like $5. Yeah. When it comes to NASA dollars, yeah, it's like $5.
Yeah. And then we got our last space story here. And this got picked up by a couple different major news agencies about these nuclear-powered rocket engines, talking about getting astronauts to Mars faster. And yeah, I guess so. Like, if you could put a faster rocket on there powered by nuclear power, then yeah, I mean,
is it really that they've been powering our submarines? They've been powering our submarines for how long? Like, you figure this was
our submarines, our surface ships too.
But I'm just saying, yeah, like
carriers and our.
I'm just saying, like, wasn't this the logical step? Like, should anybody really be shocked about this? Like, I know it's cool, but really, like, when you hear like, oh, we're going to use nuclear power to fire rockets, like, my first reaction was like, well, yeah. Like, you ever want to get past the moon? Well, yeah, of course.
Duh. Like, what? Oh, what are we just gonna carry? Yeah. Just hundreds of millions of gallons of fuel? Like
space paddles. Solar powered space paddles. Get to Rowan.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I watched The Expanse. This is how they power all their ships. Like, how are we not, saying this is a novel idea? No, this is what they do in sci-fi. But this is like a Seattle-based company that is trying to come up with this, what they're calling the ultra-safe nuclear technologies, trying to move in this direction, trying to develop some type of capable nuclear engines. I'm sure that this is super far away.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say super far away. They might be able to figure out in a good 5 to 10 window. You know, 2030 is like the benchmark for crazy space stuff, I think. So they get it done before 2030, they're right on par with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about in this article and the USNC tech, that the safe nuclear tech that this company's trying to promote, they're saying that they can potentially cut the journey from Earth to Mars to under 90 days. Like,
which is dope. I mean, if it's a reusable rocket, like if it's something that they can land and lift off from, we're talking round trips to Mars now. Not one ways where we send a bunch of people over to die on a red planet and send info back to us. This is go for 2-3 years, come back home.
Yeah, we're talking like Christopher Columbus level, right? Like we're talking about crossing the Atlantic. This isn't that long of a time frame. If you can cut it down to months of travel.
Yeah, watch out, Martians. We're bringing viruses and cultural appropriation.
We're coming for you.
We're coming for you.
All right, and then. One last story here, just talking about some flying cars in Europe, looking like 2022, Europe is really saying that they're going to do it. You know, we talked last week, I think it was last week, about that flying car port that was going to be in Covington or something like that is what we were talking about. And now we're looking at even more movement towards these flying cars. Europe is saying that they're moving towards the air mobility, urban experimentations, that there's 17 different companies involved, and they're all looking at bringing in some demonstration, some capability, limited capability of flying cars by 2022 to cities in the Netherlands, Spain, UK, all of them as kind of testing zones for flying cars.
I think they're just trying to spearhead steering wheels on the right.
Yeah.
I mean, let them work out the kinks on this. That's fine. You know, they got a congestion problem over in Europe. They don't have the land mass that we have in the United States. So they're looking to alleviate traffic and all that a lot faster than we are. Go ahead. Europe, China, all you guys, you let your citizens fly around first. Let you guys work out the kinks. I myself am not too optimistic about how this rollout goes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be just some catastrophic examples coming through this, but
horrible like just the unlimited possibilities of just horrible things that could happen are I don't know how this plans out. Like, why can't we just get automated cars down first? Like, all this money and all this attention, why are we not focusing on self-driving cars first? Like, everybody wants to go right to the air. I don't trust you fucking people on the road, man. Like, I just lost my shit on an old dude at Chase Bank the other day.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to see this getting developed simultaneously. I mean, I think we're pretty close to ready to go autonomous if the government could just...
Now, see, I don't want flying cars until I know humans aren't driving them. That's my point. That's my point.
That's easy.
Now.
Easy day.
Now.
Easy day. Yeah. Yep. Easy day. flying is so much easier than driving.
Save that quote, motherfuckers, for when all these...
I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about for the computers. I'm talking about for the computer systems. Flying is way easier than reading road signs and right of way issues on the road or whatever else. Just flying from point A to point B and keeping a certain distance from every other flying object.
You don't think there's going to be sky signs? You don't think there's going to be solar powered drones holding up speed limits and shit? Like, I'm telling you, bro, like, shit's going to get crazy. You're going to have to have some kind of guidance, like the web power it's going to take to map out like paths, because you just can't just have people driving everywhere. Like when two 747s cross paths at like 10,000 feet apart, they call that a close call. you have two giant Boeings flying by each other with football fields of distance between them, and they're like, whoa, that was close. Like, what do you think? Fucking Brenda's gonna come whizzing by you in your fucking car? Like, no, nuh-uh, no thanks.
As long as Brenda's not in control, I'm okay. But we'll see. Let's talk about this next year and see if there's actually even a single one of these flying over Europe. I just don't see it. Even though I think that the technology probably is there to control it, nobody's really demonstrated reliable electric batteries and capabilities to actually fly people for prolonged periods of time.
They got 1 year. 2 years if you're being generous. 2 years if you wait till the end of the year. You know, it'd be like me saying, I'm gonna build a new house. Oh yeah, when do you think you'll move in? Next month. that's some high fucking expectations.
All right. Well, that's a weekend news. That's it. That's all we've got. Stay inside. Don't if you're somewhere in the Midwest or Northeast, stay inside.
You want me to leave my house? You're gonna have to pay me.
I'll go to the beach this afternoon and enjoy it. So
yeah, what's Dogecoin up to right now? Let's pull it out. 0.085. Whoa, to the moon.
To the moon.
To the moon. All I see is green lines going up. Like, holy
I'm
shit.
I'm here for it. I'm here for the ride.
Holy shit.
I'm here for the ride. Let's keep going.
Oh, my God. Man, I just like fuck presidents on bills. I want memes. I want memes.
It's such trash tech, too. It's Dogecoin is such a joke. Dogecoin is such a joke, but that's fine. I'm here for the ride, up and down. Let's do it. All right. That's it for Weekend News. Hey, like us, follow, subscribe, rate, review, all those things that everybody else asks for. We're asking every week the same. It does us a big favor. It helps us grow the audience. It's appreciated.
Yep, almost at 1,000 members at the Nerd Cantina Facebook group. So if you haven't joined yet, go to nerdcantina.com/community. That'll take you to our private group where you can join. Maybe we send a t-shirt to like the 1,000th member. I don't know if we could track that though. Like who would actually, because they don't update the numbers as fast as people join. So like,
yeah, we'll figure out. Maybe we should do a giveaway.
Yeah. We'll do
a raffle draw.
Yeah, we'll do a giveaway or something when we hit 1,000. So help us get there. Take the link, hit the join button, share it with your buddies. It's a good place to hang out.
All right. Well, with all that said, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week, nerds.
See you.